All right. Welcome, everybody, to the very first inaugural podcast here with The Perfect Franchise. My name is Chris Simonich, and I'm a partner with The Perfect Franchise. And today I'm with Andrea Floyd, another member of The Perfect Franchise team, my co-coach and my guest. So instead of talking about you know, what we do at The Perfect Franchise, I wanted to start at the very beginning because, Andrew, you have a background that's specifically unique and useful for your role now as a franchise coach. So I want to take you all the way back to the very beginning. Okay. In fact, I don't even know this part of the story. You and David, what was going on in your lives and your careers that first got you thinking about maybe we want to start a business? Maybe we should look at franchises. What was going on?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I grew up in an entrepreneurial family, and at 17, I just couldn't see myself being in my family construction business. Honestly, it just didn't make sense. And so that's really where I did typically what all of our clients do, where I do the next right step. I went to college and worked my way up the corporate ladder, and David did the same. And so that first decade of our careers, we worked really hard all day long trying to, you know, figure out our career path, and then at night schools getting our MBAs and really focused on getting better jobs, more pay, all of those different pieces of what I've typically called the corporate hamster wheel. And so you're getting that higher title, you're working more hours, you know, less resources that you get every time, and then you get that title bump and then you start all over in the wheel. And it just, I don't know, just kind of seeing the flexibility and the independence that my dad had. And I think I didn't really realize until it was a little bit later in life. And it just made us think every time we went home, like, what are we doing? Why are we out here doing this? And is that what we're going to do for the rest of our lives? And it just didn't make sense. So then, you know, my husband read a book called The Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and it's comparing two different dads. One owned a business, one, you know, worked for somebody else, and really showing the difference between those two. And we really leaned towards the one that owned the business. We wanted that independence, that flexibility. That's really where we saw ourselves in life. And so we didn't really have an idea for a business. So that's really where we decided maybe franchising. We read a franchise book on it, and it just seemed to make sense. It was the best way to get into a business without having this wild, amazing idea of where to start. And so, you know, that's really how we started getting into franchising.
Excellent. So you make the decision to look at franchises. Tell me how you did it. How did you search? Did you work with a coach like we do here at The Perfect Franchise or not? And talk to me about, you know, what you learned and ultimately how you made the decision to buy into the franchise that you did.
Yeah. So part of that franchise book that I mentioned we got, it recommended working with a consultant. And for all the reasons that we tell our clients where, you know, we're really able to sort of find you a business that's a better match for you than if you just go out and you're searching and Googling and trying to find that right business, it's going to take a lot longer. You're probably not going to get all the details of what you think you are. You don't know if it's a good business really or not before you're, you know, really deep into the process. And so that's really where we decided to do same as what our clients do, work with consultants like us to really figure out, you know, how do we narrow down? And so we were showed several brands at the time and really just took it to narrow down, figure out what matched our skills, meet our goals. And then, you know, the financial investment, how much did we feel comfortable with at the time? And that's really ultimately how we decided which franchise to buy.
Okay. And so what kind of business was it, and why did you pick that industry?
Yeah. So, you know, we were in our early 30s. We had a mortgage. We had a newborn baby that was less than a year old. And so we didn't have a ton of money. And so really we were focused really on the homes services sector. That was what we could afford at the time. And so we ended up buying a residential cleaning company. Not something I thought I would get into, but they had a really low cost of entry, a really simple business to run, great franchise system that was proven out, solid track record. They had really great marketing campaigns. And so all of those things put together really kind of gave us the confidence that that was the right business for us to start out this journey.
And so my understanding is you owned that business for years, did very well, and then ended up selling that business. Is that correct?
We did. So we had that business for about 4 years. We built it to about 500 customers, 35 employees, over $1 million in revenue. And then, you know, at the end of that, I mean, going into it, we always knew that our goal was to get it to a point where it would either be manager run or we would sell it. It wasn't something we saw ourselves owning the rest of our lives, passing down to our kids as a legacy. And so really, it made sense at that time. We'd get to the point. It was pretty much manager run. And we really just wanted to sort of do something different. And part of us is we wanted to move home to be closer to my family in Boston. And so we did. We sold it. We sold it in a few days, actually, and moved back home and started looking for that next opportunity.
Okay. Well, you walked right into that because I know you weren't done with franchising at that point, right? So you went ahead No. and did it all over again. How was it different the second time? And how was the business that you bought the second time different?
Yeah, definitely different. I mean, you know, the exit from that first business, we then had more capital to put into the second business. And so the opportunities within our franchising realm of what we could choose from was much larger. And so we really felt like the next time around, we wanted to do something that was more semi-absentee. We wanted it to be manager run. And so we gravitated towards a retail franchise. And really, that gave us the ability to really own the business, have that passive income, and really do other stuff in addition to owning the business. It gave us that flexibility.
So let me ask you the question that a lot of our clients will always ask.
Yeah.
Could you really not have done that without a franchise? Couldn't you have done what you did on your own?
You know what? So I always, when I get asked that, I love to use the cleaning company as an example because, you know, what you get from a franchise, it's that model. It's been tried. It's been tested. It's been proven. And that's what's so valuable about a franchise. You're getting the support for not only the franchisor, but the franchisees. There was so many times where I wanted to know something. I wanted to know how to do something. I thought I wanted to change something I was doing and pivot and hire more people or do different marketing. I would just call up any of the other franchisees or I'd send them an email. Call up the brand and say, what do you think I should do? What's been proven? What works? And, you know, that's what's great about a franchise system. You don't get that when you open a business on your own. You're on your own. You're starting from scratch. You don't have the systems, the technology, everything that they've already shown and solved for, in addition to the marketing. So, you know, the cleaning company, there's no way I would have had 500 customers after 4 years if we didn't have the support of a franchise. Yes, a simple business. I could have went and started a cleaning company. I think that part's simple, but it was how they made it efficient, how they told you to move through the houses, how they told you to do the cleans. Everything made it more efficient so you could fit more cleans in per day. You could schedule more people. All of that really helped us maximize it in addition to all the different mailing campaigns they had that went out and drove those volumes into our business. We wouldn't have been able to do that if we hadn't done a franchise.
Okay. One last question for you, Andrea.
Yeah.
And it may be a big answer, so you'll have to whittle it down for me, but
okay.
how does this experience being a franchisee of two different systems, how does that inform how you coach your clients now?
Yeah, I think especially having two different models, one in the home sector, one in more of the retail brick and mortar, I'm able to really compare and contrast. And I've been there. I've rolled up my sleeves. I've done the work. I've done the sales component. I've worked to try to build the business, the digital marketing, all of those things, managed employees, managed a really large team. Some of them were unskilled workers. The next one, they were trained. And so, you know, there was all these different layers of complexity that came with the businesses. And now I'm able to take those experiences and help my clients figure out, okay, what is the best match for you, your skills? What are you good at? Are you good at sales? Are you good at managing people? Are you good at operations? And I've done so many aspects within the business that it really helps me figure out and make sure that I'm matching my clients to the right match. And I think that that's something that we do really strong at The Perfect Franchise, that I don't think the consultant that we worked with did. Our consultant was very transactional. It was, you have this much money, I'm going to show you this many, these three franchises and pick from these. That's different. I mean, we're really spending the time to educate our clients, you know, on the different types of sectors, the different types of businesses out there, clear understanding of the pros, the trade-offs. And I think that's ultimately the difference in the ability that I'm able to do owning these businesses is really help them figure out what is that right franchise for you. And sometimes, I mean, there's oftentimes we tell our clients, you shouldn't be in the sector. You shouldn't buy this business. And I think that's what you're going to get with us, that it's a little bit different. And I'm able to do that because of all that knowledge and that background that I've had.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly no substitute for experience, and you have it in spades. I know I've learned a lot from you and David. And we should mention that your husband, David, also a coach at the Perfect Franchise. So it's a family affair at the Floyd household. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your answers. And I'm sure everybody else listening does as well.
Yeah, that's great.
I also heard maybe you have some questions for me.
Oh, I do. Yep. I mean, I think now I'm going to pivot in the table here and turn it over. So, you know, Chris, I know that you've been in the franchising space a long time, and I can't even remember how many years you've told me, but I know many. And so how did you get into that? And then I know you worked more on the brand side, that franchisor side. So maybe even telling our listeners a little bit of what a franchisor is may help if we're starting from scratch. And then how did you get into it?
Yeah. So you were a franchisee. You were, you had owned a franchise in somebody's system. I was on the opposite end where I was a franchisor. I had a franchise system with franchisees underneath me, a partner and I did. So the short version of the story is, about 20 years, I got into franchising on the development side, helping grow various franchise systems. And after a few years, a buddy of mine, his name is Derek, we said, you know what? We're tired of building everybody else's franchise system. We should do what they do and be a franchisor because it looks easy. And and then we'll have this big franchise system that's ours. So we did that. We found an industry that we thought was ripe for franchising. We found a partner that was an expert in that industry, and we got into it. It was actually the country's first residential and commercial energy auditing franchise. And so we did that. We became franchisors. And so the first lesson, it wasn't as easy as we thought, right?
Never is.
And certainly it gives me a lot of appreciation for the brands that we work with, right? Because ultimately, we talk about brands, we talk about infrastructure, we talk about processes and systems, which is absolutely what you're buying into. But behind all that is people, right? The franchisees are people, the franchisors are people. And we definitely got to see the human side of all of that as franchisors. So same as you, we had that franchise for about 3 years. We had 70 locations from coast to coast, and then we sold it. What's interesting is I had a front row seat. So energy auditing was a home service, right? And your cleaning franchise is a home service. So it gave me a front row seat to understand why home service franchises could be so successful, right? Because every brand is going to have various advantages and competitive advantages, but there was a common theme underlying the success of all these home service franchises that I've seen, including ours that Derek and I ran. And that was in home services, the industries are filled with people that are very good at the service, meaning they're very good at remodeling. They're very good at installing flooring. They're very good at landscaping or painting, right? What oftentimes they're not very good at is business, right? Mm-hmm. So generally speaking, what home franchise concepts will do is they say, you know what? We want business people, right? Those business people will compete in business against the craftsmen. And that right there can sometimes be an unfair advantage. And then what we're going to do is we're going to partner that business person with advanced lead generation, advanced hiring and retention programs, right? Advanced operational technology. And it's that formula that usually gives franchises distinct advantages in almost any marketplace. That's why I always say, if you see a new industry come up, like energy auditing was, it's new, but over the long term, after 10 years, 15 years, you kind of wake up and you go, franchises have kind of taken over. And why is that? And that's, there's other reasons, but that's one of the reasons. So to get back to your question about my career after being a franchisor, and we sold that, I then became a consultant for like the last 10 years where I've helped create a number of franchise systems. So if somebody had a singular business, a local business that they wanted to turn into a franchise system, I've helped people do that a number of times. And now I'm a coach with the Perfect Franchise and having definitely the most fun I've ever had in my franchising career.
That's great. Me too. I mean, so you've really had a role in every sector within the franchisor space, if you think about it. Yeah. I mean, you went through all of them. You've done them all. And I think that's great. And when you kind of put that lens on and that hat of a franchisor, what were you typically looking for in a franchisee?
Well, when we started, the answer was we didn't know. But over time, we learned, and then subsequently in the rest of my franchising career, it's been confirmed for me over and over and over that there's two things that universally are the characteristics or traits that make the better performing franchisees successful. And they're simple. They're not always the answer people are looking for. People ask me all the time, like, what makes your best franchisee is the best? And they're looking for, do they have this background, or were they gifted with, you know, super charisma? It's none of that. It's pretty boring, actually. The two factors are, number one, the best franchisees are always the hardest working franchisees. That's it. And if you think about it, I know it's a lame answer, but it's true. And it applies to everything you've ever done in life, whether it's your career, whether it's sports when you're a kid. The hardest workers always had some level of success. The other answer is that the best franchisees are always the franchisees that just follow the process. They follow the system. And that, for people outside the franchising industry, you need to understand, if you're just starting to look at franchises, you need to understand that that seems like a no duh type of answer. But as soon as you start to go through it, there's a lot of, you know, emotional, there's an emotional fight going on in you with everybody to some extent. You've got fear that's opposing ambition, and you have ego that's opposing creativity, and you have all these things that are going on in your mind. The ones that can shut out that conversation and all those opposing forces and can just follow the system, they win. Every time, across every industry, with any franchise system, right? And when people don't follow the system, I think it's tempting to think, oh, it's their ego, right? They think they can do it better, or they just are independently, just fiercely independent. I would argue with that. Sometimes it's ego. A lot of times it's fear, and fear of the unknown, fear of discomfort. When you join a franchise, no matter what your background is, you will inevitably be pulled out of your comfort zone.
Definitely.
And people resist it, and they resist it in ways that they're not only always conscious of, where they start to think like, I like this, but I don't like that. That's stupid. Or I could do it better. Or I got a better idea. And that's what makes people think it's ego, but it's not that you have a better idea. It's because you're not comfortable with what the process or the system is asking of you. And so you really, really have to try to get that in check. And that's why, for folks that have never owned a business before, or for folks that have never owned a franchise before, it's an incredible journey of self-growth. I know you experienced it, where you gotta grow up a lot, and you gotta be honest with yourself, and you gotta learn and be accepting of yourself and recognize your weaknesses. And that's part of it. So, long answer to your question, what do we look for? But if somebody we felt could follow the system and was hardworking, which isn't always able to, you know, it's hard to tell when you take people through a mutual vetting process, but you do your best. But that was the key. That's what we ended up looking for. And I still think that's true today.
So what do candidates need to do so that you're not kicking them out of the process as they're starting to evaluate it. So who are you looking to sort of weed out in that process? The people that are not following that process, and how are you doing that?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is that you buy into a franchise because you want to maximize your chance of success. And you do that by minimizing your risk. And how do you minimize your risk? Well, what we just talked about, you follow the process.
Yeah. Right?
Well, what's the first process you're going to engage in before you buy a franchise? It's that discovery process. That's the process that your coach is going to take you through. And then the coach is going to introduce you to brands that you're interested in. Those brands are going to take you through a discovery process. So the first litmus test is, can you follow those processes? Can you follow the steps that your coach laid out for you? And when they introduce you to brands, can you follow the steps in the brand's discovery process? If you're having a hard time doing that, then first of all, I'm going to see some red flags. The brands are going to see some red flags. But probably you should see some red flags too. You know, if you can't follow processes, man, franchising is not for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a key difference that I think everybody needs to realize in the process. If you're somebody who just wants to go out and do everything and change it up, you know, franchising, you're getting that proven game plan. You need to be able to really follow that and execute on it. That's your role.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
I had somebody tell me a long time ago, you know, you got two choices. You can either be right or you can be rich. Which one do you want to be?
Yeah.
If you're the person that needs to be right because you had the better ideas and you did it your way, go for it. If you want to be rich, follow the process.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. What do you think sort of the number one misconception is people have about franchising?
Well, I would say the number one misconception just in general in the public would be this. If you just walked up to the average person on the street and said, hey, why would you buy a franchise? I think a lot of times the first word you hear back at you is brand. Oh, you buy a franchise because you're buying into a brand, right? And I get why they say that, you know, because when they think franchises, they think McDonald's, they think Dunkin' Donuts, they think Subway, right? I get it. 99% of the time, that is not what you're buying when you buy a franchise. Right? Because there's thousands of franchises out there. And if you and I tried real hard to come up with 50 true brands like McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts, it might be hard for us to get to 50. So you realize that the ones that actually have brands that are truly brand franchises, a very small percentage of all the franchise opportunities out there, maybe 1% or less. So what are all the other franchise systems if they're not brand franchises? And they are system franchises, right? You're buying their system. You know, I could ask those same people on the street, what is the number one, you name it, the number one home inspection franchise in the country with thousands of locations? Super successful. What is it? They couldn't answer it.
No.
Or what's the number one handyman franchises? Or what's the number one residential cleaning franchise like you had? Most people couldn't tell you. But yet they have thousands of locations. So you're not buying a brand. You're buying a proven process and system that you can follow to success. So the quicker people realize that that's what you're buying, I think the more they're going to be able to embrace their choices, right? Because the reality is for most of us, those true brand franchises aren't an option. Unless you have millions of dollars to invest in McDonald's, that's not what we're talking about here. So I think maybe that might be the biggest misconception.
Yeah, no, I think that's valid. I mean, the cleaning company we bought, never heard of it before. And honestly, like, you know, I got a mailer when we first moved to the town that we're in now. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't have noticed it before. I don't know. But I had never heard of it. And we were wildly successful with it. So I think that's a good misconception. I think that was a good one. Yeah. You know, Chris, with your background as a franchisor and all the different sectors that you've sort of been in on that side, how does that influence your approach of working with clients?
I think that I and all of us here at The Perfect Franchise really have a handle of what it realistically takes to be successful in each sector, right? There are businesses where the franchisees do fantastic, but you have to be good at sales, right? Sales isn't for you, we'll close the door on that, right? Yeah. And these are the kind of discussions we'll have and the kind of questions you get asked, so that we do start with all these possibilities of franchises and we really narrow it down and get focused on the ones that will check as many boxes for you, the franchise buyer, as possible. Now, the reality is there's no franchise, there's no business that checks every single box, right?
Yeah.
So one of the things that we do at The Perfect Franchise that's really helpful is that, you know, when people come to us, sometimes they think they know what they want, but they don't really, because they don't know enough to know what they want, right? So we need to educate them, give them a little clearer understanding of the landscape of franchising. And once they know that, then we can embark on the journey of going, okay, now that you understand the basics, and now we can start to really talk about what's the best fit for you, right? And it's key that when we're matching clients to brands, that we simultaneously narrow our focus as closely as possible to the brands we think will be the best match. And also within that focus, maintain some variety, right? Because what happens in the discovery process, when you're a client and you're talking to more than one brand, it's going to force you to ask and then answer some really important questions about what is really the most important thing to me in a business. Because you're going to talk to brand A that you like because brand A checks these boxes. And then you're going to talk to brand B and you like them because they check completely different boxes. And no brand checks all the boxes. So what do you have to do? You finally have to put a stake in the ground and go, these are the boxes that are most important to me. And once you get clarity on your priorities in a business, everything starts to fall into place. And also what you start gravitating towards changes. It evolves. And that's why, and you know this, I'll tell you that, you know, probably more than 80% of clients at The Perfect Franchise would tell you, the ones that end up buying a franchise, that the franchise they bought, more than 80% of them will tell you that the franchise they bought was completely different than anything they ever considered when they started. Definitely. Why? It's not because we're, you know, changing their mind or you know, manipulating anything. It's because the process as it's set up here at The Perfect Franchise forces them to gain clarity on what do they really want. And sometimes we have to tell them why what they really want, they shouldn't want. Sometimes that happens too, right?
Definitely.
But once they know that, then we can start to really gain momentum and we get rolling, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it goes back to just your point before about the misconception. They have these brands in their mind or these sectors that they're like, oh, I love this. This is really where I want to be. But that's really part of the value that we bring is figuring that out and helping them navigate to really, to your point, get to the right boxes. You know, at the end of the day, that's what you need. I mean, you know, I that's where we landed, you know, not what I thought I'd own, but you land where you're supposed to land and you find your way.
Yeah. That's great. I'll say this, and I know we're running out of time, but you bring up misconceptions. I would say one of the other ones to your point is I think a lot of people start the process thinking, just show me the best brand, objectively the best brand, and whatever that brand requires of me, I'll do it. I'll do whatever it takes. And they think that's a really noble attitude. And you want to say, that's not it. Because because we can all do anything for a little while. But over time, if what that brand's requiring of you, the owner, the franchise owner, are things that you're not good at or that you don't like to do, I don't care how hard you try, you can fail or at least have subpar success. So if we're going to look at franchises, if you're going to really take this leap and start a business, you might as well find a business that plays to your strengths and minimizes your weaknesses, right? So
I
agree
with
you. I
think it's great. Definitely, definitely. Well, this has been fun today. I really enjoyed this. Learned a lot about you that I didn't even know.
Yeah, right. We're partners and we didn't even know this.
No, it's great. Thank you so much for your time today. If you want more information, visit us at theperfectfranchise.com and you can reach out to Chris and I. Chris is Chris, K-R-I-S, at theperfectfranchise.com, and I'm Andrea at theperfectfranchise.com. And we look forward to seeing you on future episodes.